is Luscious Slew, and I listen to the Comic Syndicate. If you love comics, you'll be into wet. Listen to the Comic Syndicate. If movies make you contemplate, just science will accommodate. Twitter for communication at Comic Syndicate 1. I was drowning in a sea of podcasts, and I found the one I need at long last. Book reviews, the news, and sex facts. It's more than anyone can ask for. The Comic Syndicate Podcast. Ooh, the Comic Syndicate Podcast. Ooh, the Comic Syndicate Podcast. Yeah, yeah, the Comic Syndicate Podcast.
Welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josiah.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate, episode 294. I'm your host, Josias, at Ford the Villain on Twitter, at comic_syndicate on Instagram. All right, guys, I'm back one more week. I'm very exhausted already. It's Wednesday. May 13th, 2020, and let's hit it like we normally do. If I can find my notes here, I'm a little jumbled today because, again, I'm a little brain warped. But what we spoke about 100 episodes ago, let's get back on track. We hit episode 194, we entitled hashtag Nightwing Origin. So we record this one, actually trip out on this one. This one had me tripping out a little bit. At Mem the Beater and at For the Villain attempt to pull a tight short show, but still hit the sweet spot. No catch-up, but drop our annual The Comic Syndicate Fantasy Football League 2017 contestants. All right, let's start there. So 2 years ago, I guess 3 years ago by now, football season would have been coming up soon. Sports are not going on, so we did not have our summer movie draft, and we also did not have, or we're not going to have any. Actually, this one might be up in the air for fantasy football because of things that are going on. Florida is letting their people play sports. Arizona was another state also that said they want to resume sports. Look, I hate people. I just fucking hate people. Like, I want to say I love people, and to a certain degree I do. For the most part, I really fucking hate people and hate stupidity. So we'll just roll through these. Just go with the punches, guys. Roll with it. If these are ever offensive to you guys can just stop listening. This is the Comic Syndicate, very candid show. This is not your typical comic book podcast. So if you guys are going to get offended easy, just bail now. I'm sorry. I'm just got a little bit of a chip on the shoulder this week. But we hit what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. We hit Twitter poll results, which I believe this one was the one I spoke about 2 weeks ago, which was sex or bacon. I believe I put that up on a Twitter poll, which I don't remember the results. I want to say sex won, as far as more people would want to have sex than give up bacon, but I think it was really close. If you guys are curious about those numbers, go back 100 episodes ago, and you guys can always find out what we spoke about if these are ever intriguing. We hit some Twitter love and shoutouts, then drop our, wow, hashtag 4th of July public service announcement. We recorded this one July 3rd, 2017, so literally the day before 4th of July. Those are normally pretty funny because Adam and I experienced, we got some fucking stories. But we gave this public service announcement every year for as long as we were running because it's a fucked up funny story. And if you guys are curious about it, go back 100 episodes ago. I'm not going to rehash it here. Then go into two-thirds of our final relationship talk articles. And this one was Scientists Reveal the 17 Biggest Relationship Deal Breakers for Men and Women. And then I put, where do you stand? Then finally hit comic talk, comic news, Warner Brothers, the Jetson series, movie trailers, Jumanji 2, Marvel Inhumans, Nick Fury, Captain Marvel, DC, The Batman may not, oh, I'm sorry, may be noir-driven detective film, and Robert Pattinson is going to be our Dark Knight now. Then finally, Roxanne Comic Reviews, Valiant Comics Divinity, trade paperback number 1 through 5. And then we hit, I believe this one was me, because I remember, I just know more about characters than my homie at the time. But we hit Dick Grayson, Robin, Nightwing, Batman, origin story, along with Nightwing number 22 and 23 reviews. All were books of the week, though. All right, guys, I think this one's going to be a tighter show this week. Bullet points, I haven't done a lot of exciting things. Mother's Day was this past Sunday, and it was a busy fucking day. I'm going to go on through and into a lot of things, and probably not as in-depth as you guys might want or are expecting, because we're all kind of experiencing the same thing in a different way right now, and I am here for you guys. I know I keep getting hit up on the side by people, but there's a big difference between what a lot of people are experiencing and what I'm experiencing. And I think there's a grayish area in there, because I have been extremely busy. Work is kicking my ass. I'm tired of these long days. I'm more burnt out mentally than I was working both jobs. I'm still getting terrible sleep because of learning something new and the way we have to learn something new. And this training to do online is interesting, and it's tougher to learn. It makes someone who loves reading just kind of hate reading. So even not having enough time to put into a podcast like this, I mean, thank goodness I am aware of myself and what I can do, to the point where I'm able to write out stuff ahead of time. And it's helped bail my ass out on a lot of these episodes. So hence the deep dives and rabbit holes. And thank you guys for last week. The more I put those out, it's not a complaint. Like, you guys are like, fuck it, do a deep dives. Like, everyone seems to be enjoying those. There haven't been any complaints about them at all. And sometimes it seems like there is more of an outcry for deep dives and rabbit holes than a comic syndicate, which honestly, that work is somehow more complicated to put together, because I put so much work and so much writing into it. It's really a lot of work. But then again, so is the comic syndicate. The reading and writing and putting these things together is not an easy process. That's not even behind the scenes yet. So just trying to pull this one off, I'm like, okay, well, I have another deep dives. I have one more, possibly two more deep dives on the back burner ready to go, which I really need to bust one of those out and just take my time and literally drown or extend that one. I can possibly pull off another 30, 35-minute episode, which is completely fine. This episode of the Comic Syndicate, minus the news, is just, I was compiling so much news where it's like, shit, I really need to talk about this. And the best time to do it is the Comic Syndicate and start off fresh. But bullet points I can normally hit, I don't have a lot of them. I really don't have any, dude. I've got like two. It was just really dope to get word from my boy, Sadie. He's an old friend of mine, an old friend of the show. Pretty much we've had him on a bunch of times, asking and pretty much telling me he misses recording it and wants to jump on this show. He's like, let me jump on, dude. Like, I miss jumping on with you. He's like, let me jump on for some sex facts, some what the fuck news, all the side bullshit. So I'm like, you know what? Episode 300 is going to hit soon, dude. This is barely episode 294. And episode 300, I'm still working out some kinks for that. To hopefully have it be a call-in type of show and just have a bunch of guests. Alan and Anton from the 2OC, they're in, I believe Andrew was in, I believe David might have been in, oh my gosh, and there are two more people, I don't know why I'm blanking on that, but it's still stuff I want to do. So if you guys are curious and interested and want to be part of the show, I'm also going to try to configure a giveaway, a contest giveaway with some dope shit, dope swag that I've compiled throughout my years just going to conventions and just doing these cool things. All right, Last bullet point, I guess, or second bullet point, is going to be in the state of the world we live in today. Again, let me premise this by saying we're all going through different shit. So if you guys all have more time on your guys' hands, that's fantastic, and I'm happy for you guys. If you guys are miserable with your family, I'm sorry to hear that shit. I haven't reached that point yet. I am so fucking busy. I'm more busy now somehow. Let me see. I'm cooking a lot more. I'm going out for more exercise. I'm reading more. I'm working, legit working from home office a lot more. I do not have a lot of downtime on my hands. So that's why even putting work in, homework and reading, writing for either podcast, it's tougher for me because I'm working so much, because I'm juggling so much to put in the time. And I know that sounds weird, but I'm going to keep doing it because I know what I'm capable of, and it's a great outlet, and I want you guys to get lost, but this is probably one that I came across where I'm like, okay, how the fuck do we feel about this? And I'm just kind of sour about concerts at the moment right now. So I had System of a Down tickets, at Deftones tickets, Bush tickets, Joe Koy tickets, Impractical Jokers tickets for the remainder of the year. Just each month was going to be planned out something new. Oh, in the world we're living in, I hate people. I trust myself 150%. If I can clone myself again, I would love an army of Josiahs, because I don't trust the world and the state of the idiots that are out in the world. Concerts. I don't know how I feel about concerts right now. And honestly, I do know exactly how I feel about concerts right now. A lot of these companies, StubHub, Ticketmaster, second, third-party vendors that sell tickets, I think they look like they're fucking over a lot of people. Ticketmaster, thank goodness, said they would offer me a refund, quote-unquote. Now, before that, they even said, we're going to just transfer these dates for a later date. So make sure you hold on to your ticket. Every customer should always be given the right to always ask for a refund. No questions asked. That's just, you would think that's a proper business model. In saying that, I have somewhat gotten, not offers, but refunds from these gigs. Now, the type of person I am, I take care of myself, and I make sure when I go out, I'm taking care of myself. I hate fucking people. I'm tired of fucking people. I'm tired of fucking idiots. And if you guys don't do anything right now to take care, like, if you don't take care of yourselves, I honestly, you guys can probably turn off this podcast. I don't give a shit about you guys either. The fact that you guys don't respect other people either, to know and to be more aware of, like, maybe I should be covering up right now. Maybe I should be wearing a fucking mask. Just fucking do it for the betterment of the situation we're living in. Back to concerts. It deals with the idiots too. So the type of person I am, I, second job, worked at a theater. And, you know, I got movies every day if I wanted to watch a movie, was the gig. That was the perk. And that, I did love that perk. And I still would love that perk back, minus the fact that I haven't been able, none of us have been able to watch a movie. If it's not video on demand, we can't go to the movie theater. So the fact that even when theaters do open up, little by little, you guys are seeing it. How do you guys all feel about it? Like, are you guys going to be eager to jump in? Like, I got a survey from a movie company, that's not my company, and asked me specifically, like, can we take a survey poll with you? So I jumped on the website, and I'm like, all right, cool, let's see what you guys got. And how soon would you go back? And just a survey, but, like, dealing with all the bullshit. Would you feel more comfortable if people got, everyone that watched the movie jumped in? Got their temperatures checked, wore a mask, all those things you guys should be aware about. And I'm thinking to myself the whole time, like, I don't even think I want to go back to the second job. Like, I just don't. I'm working enough now, the office job, so much more now. I'm getting a lot of overtime where it's like, I mean, honestly, I never needed a second job. I really did not need it. I just fell in love with the people and the coworkers I had and the movie aspect, like getting a movie, like The Perks, you know, and shit like that was cool. And being a bartender, barista, and meeting new people. I'm a fucking people person. So back to the survey was, do I feel comfortable going back to a movie theater? Honestly, I don't even feel comfortable enough to work the second job, to work the theater job, bartender, barista anymore. Now, let's take it to the next level. Like, let's say half of the theater was patrons, customer, you know, just customers. A quarter, would you guys feel more inclined if the a quarter of the theater was sold? Kind of yes, kind of no. Yeah. So again, to each their own, and I totally understand to some degree what everyone or how everyone would have their own ideas or ideals about this nonsense. And in a weird way, it's nonsense. But the more nonsensical thing are the people that are unaware, these idiots that are protesting and the shit that's happening with them. It's like, you know what? You fucking kind of get what you deserve, dick. But that's me being somewhat cynical, but I'm at For the Villain for a reason. So if you guys want to send me hate mail, I'm completely fine with it. I'm at For the Villain on Twitter, at @comic_cynic, and on Instagram. Concerts, though, are another thing where I love the fuck out of concerts. I trust myself, but to be elbow to elbow with someone sitting down, because I did pick up seats. I even in the mosh pit, as much as I love mosh pits, I will mosh out at a System concert. I will mosh out at a Deftones concert. System was supposed to be May 23rd, so literally 10 days from today, on a Saturday, I believe, Sunday, in Los Angeles. The way I feel right now about concerts in general, would I go to a concert this year? Fuck no. How do you guys feel about this? I want to put up a Twitter poll, and I'm going to put it on my Instagram as well. At what point would you guys wait to go to a show, whether it be a concert, any type of venue, so a comedy show, would, you know, like a legit full, not just theater, not like an improv, even an improv show, I guess, a sporting event. Like, I mean, granted, no sporting events can happen with fan or attendance right now. I love the fuck out of all these things. Sports. Give me comedy. Give me music. Give me live music. Personally, it's going to differ from person to person. The way I feel about it, though, it's like I'm not hurting for the fucking money. Like, I could get the refund for all five of these things. And I'm probably going to wait till next year. And should I wait till next year, or should I just bank up this money, and when they go on tickets go on sale again next year, then try to swoop them up? But that's just the okay if scenario. Like, be aware, guys. But I'm very curious about how you guys all feel about these things, because I know a bunch of you guys love sports and comedy and just shows in general, and let's say theater, and let's go back to concerts. At what point do you guys throw in the towel and say, you know what? Nah, I don't want to be amongst people. Like, I want to be with my family and have my own row, which would be fucking dope. I wouldn't even mind if I was the only one in attendance for a football, basketball, hockey game, anything like that. Even a fucking concert. But you got to think about everyone else. Of course, that's not going to happen. So everything's been postponed for the most part for next year. Now, would you guys get your refunds now, or were you guys going to hold on to them? Or let's just say by August, if things are able to open up some 3 months out from now, are you guys finally ready to go out into the world? Or do you guys feel the way I do, where it's like, I trust myself, I just don't trust the fucking idiots that are out in the world? And if you guys are an idiot, again, please feel free to hit me up. I'm at For the Villain on Twitter for a reason. All right, guys, give me a few, and I'll be right back with some comic talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate. I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist of Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic
Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon, and you're listening to me live on Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
All right, guys, I'm back with some comic talk. And here I thought this was going to be a quick and fun and easy show. Again, it goes back to the deep dives and rabbit holes of the work and that you guys are seeming to appreciate and liking a lot, along with the time to write an episode of the Comic Syndicate is tough work. So the fact that you guys hopefully can catch that, holy shit, this guy's a lot busier than I am. It is a huge fucking thing. Like, I'm kind of just focusing my time and effort and energy on the things I can and am able to at the moment, which is not a bad thing at all. Like, it's really not a bad thing. So, all right, let's hit it. So again, thank you for letting me vent, but you know what? This is kind of the Comic Syndicate and a little bit of deep dives again. Music. This is going to be the music fucking episode. Rocker face off, something like that. Hashtag. All right. First piece of comic news, or actually movie news. Oscars will allow non-theatrical films to qualify due to pandemic. The Academy of Motion Pictures of Arts and Sciences has waived the 7-day theatrical release requirement for the Oscars. The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences has changed the eligibility rules for the 2021 Oscars. While normally films need to have at least a 7-day run in theaters in order to qualify for the award show, this requirement has been waived for the time being to accommodate the films released during the global pandemic. I mentioned this the last episode of the Comic Syndicate. It was, what is going to be the Sonic versus Bloodshot versus Onward for Movie of the Year. Like, this is a sad run, and it's a sad race. I think Sonic would win Best Comedy? I don't know. Look, fuck it. I don't know. So, is this a good idea? Although, I'm going to come across a few bits and pieces of batter news, I guess. Next one is going to be Sly Stallone says Demolition Man sequel is in the works. So, he did an Instagram Q&A, and he revealed that he's working on a sequel to 1993's Demolition Man. So, my junior year, this movie came out. It was a good movie for the time. The future, you know what? The future back then looked like every dystopian future, just like RoboCop kind of did. And I don't know how I feel about that one. Is it necessary? No. Are they going to pull off the seashells again? I don't know. G.I. Joe Snake Eyes follow-up in development from Hasbro and Paramount. So Paramount Pictures and Hasbro are planning a new G.I. Joe film that's said to be a follow-up to the upcoming Snake Eyes solo project. All right, Michael Bay fucked up my Transformers feelings, so I don't know how I feel about this. So, and it's not Michael Bay behind Snake Eyes, so I might be in. And that movie did get done filming. This piece is interesting. Speaking of Michael Bay fucking up this franchise, new Transformers film set for 2022. Paramount has announced that Transformers will return to theaters with a new live-action film. Paramount has announced that a new Transformers film is scheduled to hit theaters in 2022, and let's see, one of which will follow up on the events of 2018's Bumblebee, while the other adapts the animated Beast Wars spinoff film from the late 90s. So two movies. Jeez. All right, if you guys saw 2018's Bumblebee, it was done good. I believe Travis Knight was a writer and possibly director. But it was a great movie. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the first 10 minutes of the Cybertron sequence. Was great. So if it's within that vein, then give me that some more. Next one's going to be interesting to me, Anne Rice's Vampire Chronicles and Mayfair Witch's Fine Home at AMC. And I got this one today. MC has gained the rights to adapt Anne Rice's best-selling Vampire Chronicles and Mayfair, which is book series, into a shared TV universe. Interview with the Vampire and Queen of the Damned were actually movies that were put out. Interview with the Vampire was a great movie. It deviated a bit from the novels, but I read all the novels and all the Vampire Chronicles. Queen of the Damned was great. Aaliyah was great as Akasha in that movie. Lestat was good. I forget dude who played Lestat. And everyone else was terrible in the movie. Like, it was a terrible movie. It was terribly written. But going to AMC, the only thing that I'm worried about is I don't want her to get screwed, or this franchise, this novelization that I loved growing up that I've read. I don't want her to get, and these to get fucked up. Like, honestly, Robert Kirkman's The Walking Dead. So anyone that is a Walking Dead fan, they kind of fucked him over on rights and money and changed his screenplay for the most part. So I don't know. How do you guys feel about that? Tom Cruise, Elon Musk, and NASA are shooting an action film in space. I know it sounds like bullshit, but even when you say it out loud, it sounds like bullshit, but once you get the last name out and NASA are shooting a film in space, it's like, you know what? All three of these names kind of make sense. Tom Cruise is killing himself doing his own action sequences anyways. Elon Musk is a Tony Starkish cat. And you know what? NASA, you know what? It kind of makes sense. Hopefully we don't see Tom Cruise die in outer space, though. I do like that cat. This one was interesting. Now, Marvel Disney News, live action Hercules remake film in development. Is this one necessary? Like, live action Hercules. Like, Hercules is a story where the rights, like, it's not a Disney, like, like, it what, this one's not necessary, right? I mean, none of them really are, but this one had me scratching my head. Next one's gonna be The Mandalorian. Maul actor teases an appearance in the Star Wars series. I'm kind of stoked about that. Star Wars recruits Thor Ragnarok's Taika Waititi for new film. So he's actually, and I love his work. Jojo Rabbit was the last movie I saw from him. And I believe I mentioned this a few weeks ago. Like, Taika Waititi is Hitler. The most adorable Hitler ever, dude. I know it's fucked up to see, but if you guys have seen Jojo Rabbit, it's a dope fucking movie. So he adapted that novel, and he did a great job. He did a great job with Thor Ragnarok. I can't wait to see what he's going to do with Thor Love and Thunder. And now Disney has recruited him specifically for a Disney Star Wars movie. I trust the dude, so I trust his vision. So yeah, give me more of that. All right, I'm going to try to get through these as quick as I can because it's late. I'm recording about 8:40 now, which is a late night for me to ever be recording, along with the editing process. All right, but here you guys go. Disney Plus opens Nick Fury's files on Marvel's heroes and villains. You know what? They're going to put everything on Disney Plus. When our place is going to go back to be able to film, I don't know. But speaking of, you know, let's go back to Star Wars. The Mandalorian Season 2 adds Robert Rodriguez as a director. So if you guys were paying attention to the first season of The Mandalorian, if you guys did enjoy The Mandalorian, each episode had a certain director behind it. Taika Waititi did the last one, and you can feel his comedy vibe. Dallas Bryce Harper did one, and you can probably catch her. I'm thinking about the fucking baseball player. Dallas Bryce Howard. See, that's how you know you're overworked. When you think of Ron Howard's daughter as Bryce Harper from the Washington Nationals, and that dude's a douchebag. All right. So anyways, hold on. Oh my god, that one should not have gotten me to crack up as much as that one did. Alright, sorry for that, guys. Report still on The Mandalorian is Boba Fett has a role in The Mandalorian Season 2 coming up. And they revealed that he's going to have a bigger role in The Mandalorian Season 3. How do you guys feel about this? I love the world of Star Wars. I saw The Last Jedi again for the second time last weekend. It's a good movie. It's better than The Last Jedi. I found a lot of plot holes that I saw initially and second time watching it. About 6 months later, I found so many more plot holes. And as a writer, I find it offensive. And it was J.J. Abrams behind it. So, look, I love Star Wars. I really enjoyed The Mandalorian, though. So, all right, let's go back to Marvel real quick. Ghost Rider races back to Hollywood at Marvel Studios. So Marvel Studios and Kevin Feige are reportedly at work on a new Ghost Rider project, which will not star, unfortunately, Gabriel Luna. So if you guys were watching the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they introduced Robbie Reyes, which is that Ghost Rider with his muscle car on that show. I am a fan of Ghost Rider in general. Ghost Rider, Motorcycle Hero, a Henry Rollins song, or Rollins Band song. That I'm the only one that probably knows that song, that listens to this, or that will just go along with it. I'm in a music vibe today because I'm still sour about my concerts. All right, let's see what else we got. I think we are ready to hit comic reviews, and the comic reviews is not even going to be crazy. You know what? Even before that, let me hit this one real quick, because this one kind of got me jazzed. I was at the office, and my tweet notification went off, and I'm like, the fuck? And it says something like, you didn't think we were gone, did you? And I saw that tweet, which was now about 12 hours ago, earlier today, on May 13th, 2020. And the last time they tweeted was, I think it was March 12th or 15th, early on in the year when everything got shut down. So New Mutants still slated for theatrical release. A new report suggests that the New Mutants will indeed hit the big screen. And it was a movie poster with the date of August 28th, 2020. I'm so jazzed for this. Like, it's been in limbo for the longest time, and it's weird to say in limbo because it really has with the Fox Disney acquisition and where this movie was slated for. Is it going to connect the X-Men to the Avengers finally and or somehow? And just everything with, as far as this movie getting pushed and pushed and pushed, and it's been weird to see. It was supposed to get released about 2 years ago by now. So the fact that it's still a fucking thing. And I know I said in limbo, but magic is Ileana Rasputin. Her older brother is Pietro Rasputin. That's Colossus. You guys know Colossus if you guys just follow movies. Colossus from Deadpool. He's a great fucking character. She's a great fucking character. She rules limbo. So kind of weird how this movie has been in limbo. So I love these kids. I love these characters. Roberto Da Costa, Sunspot, Samuel Guthrie, Cannonball, Danny Moonstar, Rayan Sinclair, Wolfsbane, and then, yeah, just these characters I love. Julio Esteban Richter. So give me these characters all day long. And you know what? A lot of movies I would not pay $20 for. video on demand. But like I said, if August 28th, 2020 comes up, and if theaters are telling me, yeah, we're letting theaters sell to half capacity, it's like, you know what? Let's do this video on demand, and I will pay $20 for this movie. I mean, again, how do you guys feel about crowds and going out in that way? All right, comic reviews is not necessarily a comic review. It's going to be a continuation on what I've been reviewing on the Comic Syndicate the past month for the most part. I believe it's been Legion Quest 1, 2, and then I did Legion Quest Part 3, and then Legion Quest Part 4. Now, these events turned into something that was very cool for the time. So being a kid of the 90s, reading comics in the 90s. So I was born in 1980. Once I started collecting and reading comics was in the 90s. So for 1995 to happen, 15 years old, for Marvel, for any company at the time, really, to say, all right, these are our X-Men lineup, and we're going to take all these away from you, and we're going to give you, for 4 months straight for the summer, we're going to take away these comics you guys are loving, and we're going to give you something completely different. Now, I know the hive minds and the work and effort, the brainstorming it takes to go on, and, you know, even the summits, these writers, artists, creators summits that Marvel has, that DC has, to put something like this together and then to finally let the fans know, the readers, like, we're taking these characters you love, we're going to take them away from you for 4 months, and we're going to give you something new. So this is what happened in 1995 to 96. During the entirety of the Age of Apocalypse event, the regularly published X-Men comics were replaced by new X-Men-related miniseries. So for 4 months. As a fan, as a kid, 15 years old, I was pissed, like, what? Everything's going good. Like, everything's awesome. Why would you guys fuck this up? The story started with Legion, David Haller, a psychotic mutant who traveled back in time to kill Magneto, which were the last reviews, before he can even become a villain to commit the crimes against humanity that he has. Legion accidentally killed his father, Charles Xavier, leading to a time change, or a change in that timeline. So the death of Professor X leads to the Age of Apocalypse, leads to Apocalypse attacking 10 years sooner, altering the history of that X-Men world and or universe to a certain degree. So there were a bunch of comic lines. So Wolverine was a title, X-Men Blue, X-Men Gold was a title. We had Generation Next at the time. We had X-Factor. And I'm going to go into those stores. We had X-Factor as well. And it was really ballsy of them at the time because they flip-flopped so many characters and so many arcs and so many characters that you loved. They wrote differently. And a lot of heroes turned into villains. And a lot of villains they shed some light on and became heroes in a weird way. That, to still this day, gravitated to the good guys we kind of have now. So what those events took place there, David Haller killing his dad on accident, but still killing his dad, means there were no X-Men to get created. Magneto, before he was Magneto, so Eric Lenscher, saw his best friend die in his arms, and he promised that he would never let people hurt mutants like that again. And this is coming from, you know, former concentration camp kid, and he, instead of becoming the villain he was supposed to be, he, Magneto, creates the X-Men to combat hatred and bigotry, and it's a dope fucking story. So this is more of a backdrop, more than a review, because these titles were fucking really dope. Okay, so Legion goes back to the past, accidentally kills his dad. He's unable, Professor X is unable to start the X-Men. Magneto takes it upon himself to create the X-Men. So that leads Apocalypse to find out, like, oh shit, they're unprepared for me. So I'm going to attack now. Okay, because of Xavier's sacrifice, Magneto comes to believe in his late friend's dream of peaceful coexistence, which he does, starting these new X-Men. Magneto assembles the X-Men just as Apocalypse begins his war. Despite the X-Men's resistance, Apocalypse conquers all of North America, and eventually mutants are considered the ruling class. Apocalypse initiates a genocidal campaign called the Callings, killing millions of humans to further ensure that no one is left to challenge him or undo the circumstances that led to his reign. He has everyone with telepathic or chronal abilities hunted down. Meanwhile, the changes in the timeline result in a destructive crystallization wave created by the M-Cron crystal, which comes into account and effect later on in the story. So for the next few months during the summer, I'm going to review a bunch of these ones, but these are the titles that changed. So this one, Excalibur, is a team built around Nightcrawler, who is sent by Magneto to locate Destiny, a mutant capable of seeing into the future, so that she can verify Bishop's story. Nightcrawler must travel to Avalon, a secret refuge where mutants and humans live together in peace. Along his journey, he encounters John Proudstar, Thunderbird, and the monk Kane, the pirate Callisto, and his mother Mystique, Raven Darkholm. The chief antagonist for Nightcrawler's journey consists of the Pale Riders, a trio of Apocalypse's servants, made up of Moonstar, Daniel Moonstar, Damask, Emma, Deadman Wade Wilson, so Deadpool to you guys, and the Shadow King. Nightcrawler's team consists of Mystique, Switchback, and later Damask, who joins Nightcrawler after realizing the beauty Avalon has to offer. This one took the place of Excalibur. Now it sounds weird. This is called X/Calibur, like a six mallet, I'm sorry, 20 caliber, you know, missile or 20, fuck me, I'm tired. It takes the place of Excalibur as far as, you know, Excalibur, the sword. I'm sorry, guys, I'm completely off. Gambit and the Externals stars Gambit, Remy LeBeau. Externals consist of Sunspot, Roberto Da Costa, Jubilation Lee, Strong Guy, and Lila Cheney. They are sent to deep space using Lila's teleportation or to retrieve a shard of Emkron crystal, essential to the verification of Bishop's alternate reality. The team is pursued by Richter, a henchman of Apocalypse. So that's what happens. Now, all these things are dope. Everything that happens, all these good guys, you see your heroes in a different light and different artists are drawing them in a weird and unique way that makes sense. And they go after an Emkron crystal, which again comes into account later on. All right. This title, Gambit and the Externals, replaced X-Force at the time. Generation Next consisted of Colossus, Pietro Rasputin, and Shadowcat, his wife. They consist of Chamber, Husk, and Mondo. Scansoul, the Generation X team for the most part, took the place of Generation X. The Astonishing X-Men lineup was led by Rogue, who is Magneto's wife in this, and consists of Sabretooth, who is a good guy, Blink, who became a great character, Wild Child, Morph, Sunfire. This version of Sunfire is dope. I'm going to go into these stories because they're fucking sick and just, they're worth checking out. This title replaced, at the time, the Uncanny X-Men. The Amazing X-Men consisted of the team leader, Quicksilver, so Pietro, Lensher, and Storm, Dazzler, Banshee, Iceman. You guys should see Iceman in this world. It's the first time we got to see Iceman amp up in every issue. And damn it, Iceman is so good in this. All these characters are so good in their own way. Like, you guys are going to feel the hurt because I'm really going to go into and break down Sunfire's origin story. And he goes through hell. All these characters literally go through hell trying to fight their way out of this fucked up world. And I really want to share it with you guys. Weapon X goes into Logan and his lover Jean Grey. And this one took the title, replaced Wolverine, obviously. Factor X was the elite mutant force who serve Apocalypse. They are split into five sibling groups. This group is all villain-based. Cyclops, his brother Havoc, M-Plate, the twins, Cannonball, Northstar, Aurora, and Beast are all villains. It's an interesting flip-flop, but Factor X took the place of X-Factor at the time. X-Man was a great character that came out of this series. The protagonist of X-Man is Nate Gray, a mutant born of Cyclops and Jean Grey's DNA, and the most powerful telekinetic in the world. He lives in the under the guidance of his father figure, Forge, who leads a group of outcasts consisting of Mastermind, Toad, Brute, and Sauron, who attack trains and factories of Apocalypse while masquerading as a theater troupe. This title replaced Cable. We learn that X-Man, Nate Gray, if Cyclops and Jean Grey's son would have never got sent to the future because of his techno-organic virus that literally is eating him alive, that he has to use his powers on a minute-to-minute, second-by-second basis. If he doesn't keep that at bay, it's going to kill him. That's why he's half metal. So this world was so dope. And for 4 months, you're loving it. It's just action-packed, punch in the face all the time. There's a lot of sad that happens. So those are the titles that it goes into, guys. I'm going to start dissecting a few of these little by little, but I thought it was time to share. And so if you guys were curious about that, there's cops going on outside. I don't know what's going on out there. But if you guys want more background, I'm going to start finally posting up pictures of the reviews. So this one's not going to be a lot of picture based, but the next few weeks I'm definitely going to toss out the Legion Quest series. So once I go into these, I'm going to definitely go in more in depth in these. I still got to hook up with my brother Moses to dissect the Demon Bear Saga, The New Mutants for you guys. If you guys enjoyed the podcast, share the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or subscribe there. Definitely share the podcast more than anything. You guys are dope, rad, awesome. I will catch you guys next week. Peace out.